We'll be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. It's a good chapter, some good stuff in it. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know that what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we have also forewarned you and testified, for God has not called us into uncleanness, but into holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also given to us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write to you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study and be quiet, to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I know this is a rapture chapter for some of the churches, you know. We ain't going up in the air. Okay? I'll say right up. Don't believe in it at all. It's a false doctrine. It's escape theory, and God never told us to escape anything, did he? If there's a mountain in front of us, we're to either go over the mountain or remove the mountain, not run around it. Okay? Back to that first verse. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort, or literally encourage you, okay, by the Lord Jesus, or in the Lord Jesus, that you have received not of us, but from us, okay? You should receive from us how you should, not ought, but should, not walk, but live. How you should live your life. So we've taught you how to live your life. How you treat people? How do you treat yourself? You know, if you can't treat yourself right, how are you going to treat anybody else right? Yeah. You've got to learn to love yourself as you are. And first of all, you've got to stop believing the things that the flesh teaches you about yourself. Because that's not you. You are the spirit inside of you. This flesh isn't who you are. And you got to learn to love yourself as you are. If God puts you in this vessel to take the trip in it, then enjoy the trip. He didn't tell you to curse yourself and hate yourself, did he? You got to love yourself. And please God, to how you ought to live and please God, so you would what? Abound more and more? No, it should say you superabound more. Superabound. That means have plenty. Now the reason you have plenty is what? To hoard it up?
No, to give it away.
It's to help others who are less fortunate. That's all. Verse 2. Because you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus, okay? You know what we gave you. Now, why would he think that we should already know how to do these things?
Well, the thing is, he's just trying to awaken.
Remember John 14:26? I'm going to go away and send you another comforter, and he shall call all things to remembrance, whatever I've said to you. In Ephesians, he said, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. It says he wrote it in our heart before the foundation of the world. So we have the instruction manual inside of us. It's the Spirit. And if we listen to that Spirit, can we ever make a mistake? It's impossible. If you listen to that. Jesus always listened to the Spirit within him. He said, whatever I hear my Father say, that's what I do. Whatever I see him do, that's what I do. See, so if we follow that Spirit, and that's the patterns he's trying to teach us. Look within yourself and find that peace that God has given you. Take that peace and live by it. Don't worry what anybody else thinks about it. Because they're not you, are they?
No.
There's only one you in the universe. Just one. One of each person. And you're supposed to live the way that he's called you to live. They're not drastically different. But see, most people live by what other people think. If they hear somebody else do something and it works for them, I think I'll try that. Are they thinking for themselves? No. They're living someone else's life. The only life you should be living is the life that God gave you. Does that make sense? I don't want to live anybody else's life. And I don't want necessarily anybody else living my life. I would like my life to be an example to people to live their lives, but I don't want them living my life. Don't copy me. Jesus said it, follow me. Paul said it, follow me as I follow Christ. As an example, nothing more. Stop this foolish idolatry. That's all the church is full of, is idolatry. You need to quit that stuff. Get away from it. Verse 3 says, because this is the will of God. Knowing how you ought to live your life is what he's talking about. That's the will of God, that you know how to live your life. You know how to live and treat everybody else. And he says, it's your sanctification, or literally your purification. If you know how to live your life, and as you discipline yourself in these motions of doing things, you are purifying, because as you discipline yourself to do a certain thing that is the right thing to do by the Spirit that you know, you're eliminating those thoughts coming from the other side, from that natural mind. You're becoming pure. You're blocking the compulsions of the flesh.
Yeah.
See? And when you do that, it's being done, and you should abstain or refrain from fornication. Fornication speaks of multiple things, okay? It comes from the Greek word porneia, 4202, and it means it can be sexual or it can be idolatry, okay? So that's why God talked about Israel all the time in being in fornication in the Old Testament, because they were not faithful to him, okay, as a husband, but they were faithful to other gods. Does that make sense to you?
Because when you create God, you're following that one. Right?
You're following that one and not the one true God. That's what he's trying to tell us. Mm-hmm. These are basic things, but most people never get into it and understand why. I mean, what's he really saying to us? And all he's telling us, listen to the truth within you. That other voice, remember Jesus said, John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. See, I hear that Spirit of the Christ within me speaking. That's the one I got to follow. And the other one can't go there. Mm-hmm. You can hear people talk sometimes who are supposed to be, quote, spiritual people, preachers, evangelists, whatever. And you hear them say things and your stomach just twists in a knot. Do you really think that's the Spirit of God? Yeah, it's easy, isn't it? It's easy to hear that, isn't it? But that's what we have to see. We can tell there's a distinct, there's something wrong. Trust your inner feeling. Don't say, well, the preacher said it's right, so it must be right. That's BS.
He's smarter than me.
Yeah, he's been to school. Well, Jesus didn't go to school. He didn't go to learn to be a prophet, a priest, and a king, did he? Life is the school that teaches you who you are. And when you learn to hear the truth from within, the external has no choice but to follow in, suit right with it. Because the inside controls the outside. But in the natural realm, it's the other way around. Okay. Verse 4. That each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in purity. Sanctification should be purity and honor. See, so all this is so you will know how to take care of your own body. Did he tell you to take care of anybody else's?
No. I'm not my brother's keeper.
That's exactly right. It's not our responsibility to keep everybody in line. If I'm doing what's right and somebody else is doing what's wrong, who's the price to pay for that one? They are. If they, it's what they want to do, I'm sorry. It's not my calling to go out and try to correct the world. The only thing I'm trying to do is correct the world in me and line it back up to where it's supposed to be. If I can get me in line, I have done a wonderful thing. Would you agree?
If you can't do it, I'll help you.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about right there. I don't need no help. No. But we have to realize we got to take care of ourselves. If I can't get me in condition the way I should be, how could I possibly help anybody else?
It's easier to point fingers that way.
But that's not helping anybody. That's judging.
No, that's what I mean. If you give up on yourself, then you start pointing fingers. It's not my fault anyway. It's their fault.
Well, most people see the weaknesses that we have in ourselves in somebody else. And it's much easier to point out, if I was to point at Lloyd and say, Lloyd, you got a problem doing this or that, you know. It's easier to point it out in you than to point at me and say, Dave, you know, you got a problem.
You identified
it. But see, if you know how to read people, you can read them. The people that point their fingers at people, guess what?
They got that problem.
What they're pointing at you, telling you your problem is, just look at the mirror. They're telling on themselves. But they don't realize. They think they're being real smooth.
Now, whether you meant it that way or not, you may have been clueless, but they're pointing
still there.
At you. And so you're going, well, I wasn't thinking that. And you know what they're thinking. You know?
Look at the preachers that have issue with sexual immorality. And how many of them are getting busted now because they're in that same issue? How many of them are for lying or into drugs? And that's all they preach about. They don't teach you about who you are. They teach you about all the negative aspects. And you know what? It's not helping anybody. It's not helped anybody for thousands of years. It's not helped anybody. Tell them the truth. The truth is, there's a message of love going around. Me and Lois was talking about this morning. There's so many people discussing this message of love in the last couple years. Everybody's kind of focused on love. Not an issue with me. I agree with the issue of love. But the way they're portraying it is not telling the truth. Didn't Jesus say that he chastises or corrects those he loves?
Yeah.
Well, where's the correction at? Correction is not condemnation and judgment, but it's a showing of the telling the truth. That's not going to help you. I need to tell you the truth so you can know the truth, and by knowing the truth, you can be free. Correct?
Just like we've always said, to get the fester out of the...
You've got
to
pick it out.
You've got to take the thorn out.
It's going to hurt a little bit getting it out, but then it can get better. And see, people have lost that aspect of being truthful. You know, like you said, Lloyd, people say sometimes you're blunt Lloyd. Lois has said the same thing. People tell her.
I just got called that this week. Yeah. Not Lloyd, but I got called.
No, she got called blunt, you know. And, you know, I'm direct in what I say. I don't know how to, I don't want to be one, like a politician running around a corner and telling you what you want to hear and then going over around another corner and telling somebody else what they want to hear, totally different. You know, just tell the truth. And the chips fall where they may. It'll be okay. I don't care about the rest of it. I'm going to tell the truth. And I think that the church world has totally lost that ability. They're afraid to offend. Did not Jesus, our number one brother, did he not say offenses must come? And literally that word says offenses are necessary. If we're not offended, will we ever know what lies within us? If someone comes by and offends you, it stirs something up out of you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you realize that that person just did you a favor? They brought something to the surface, a negative in you that you do not need. They did you a favor. They're not doing it to you, they're doing it for you.
As soon as that person said I was blunt, I said, you know, why do I have to continue to expound on some big flowery thing for the 20 minutes to tell you one statement that was actually a truth?
You don't.
And that's what they want you to do. They want a long, flowery, dramatic.
If you can't dazzle them with brilliance. Sure.
No.
Yeah, but she's saying they would. If you tried to expound it any deeper, they wouldn't even understand it anyway.
It wasn't a mean statement.
No, so doesn't have to be.
I don't like umbrellas.
It's just that simple, you know. But see, you don't know what they hear. We can say something. How many times has someone accused you of saying something you never said?
Oh, yeah.
See, because they don't listen to understand, they listen to respond. And they heard one word and made their whole decision out of one word, and there was 20 more words came out they never heard because they weren't looking for that.
They listen to that erroneous thought processes in their own yeah. brain that's and putting it together with whatever you've said and coming up with something that...
Some Frankenstein statement.
You know, something that's totally off the wall.
That's humanity, them cherubim.
Mm-hmm. They made themselves a god to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I realize that.
Well, I mean, I was trying to tell someone the other day about the refiner's pot and God correcting those he loves. And I was like, well, I don't see it that way. You know, it just wasn't that, like, that flowery love thing without, there's no maturity in that is what I'm seeing. You know, you're not embracing the correction. You know, they don't embrace the correction and see it as an no. opportunity to better themselves inside. Mm-hmm. But they want to take and just have this, you know, this flowery stuff. That's the only thing that counts to them.
In Proverbs it says we must love, rebuke, and correction.
Yeah.
Okay. If we don't learn to accept the fact that when someone comes to us, and I don't care, I mean, I think I've told the story, the man's dead now, it doesn't make any difference, but Ed Wills down here, he corrected me one time, and I mean, he was as carnal at that time as ever anybody could ever have been. I mean, he was going to church, but there was nothing there, you know, he was just going to church, following the rules of the religious system. And he corrected me in something, and I was offended big time. And I stomped out of his shop and didn't say anything, but I just left, you know. And as soon as I got in the truck and shut the door, God spoke to me. He said, what's the matter, son? He got you, didn't he? And I'm like, what does that uncircumcised Philistine think he's doing correcting me? He said he was right, though, wasn't he? And I got out, went back into his business, and apologized for my attitude. And he said, what attitude? He had no clue what was going on. But I heard, see, that was the only thing that mattered. I heard that I was wrong, and God used him to correct something in me. So why should I be upset with him? I was the one that was in error, wasn't I? I was the error. So when I heard it, I said, hey, he got me. I mean, he's telling the truth. I was offended because of arrogance in me. So I had to go back and apologize. And the man didn't even know what I was talking about. But I knew. Well, I understand, but see, most people think they're supposed to understand the conversation. But I realized through that, it's not about that. God's working with me, and I'm the only one that's going to understand what's going on.
That's that new phrase I told you, a divine nobody?
Yep.
It was a divine nobody.
Yeah, I'm just a divine nobody, and God's divinely working on me.
Christ was speaking through him, he had no clue.
Nope. Well, but we all are divine nobodies. You know, we're part of a body, but we're not God. We're part of that God. Okay, verse 5, that where I left off? Should be verse 5?
Yeah.
Not in the lust of concupiscence, which literally means desire, but in the lust of desire, as the Gentiles which know not God. So he said we shouldn't be living on a desire for everything, whether sexual or financial or anything else. control, manipulation. We shouldn't be living on this desire thing, you know. We should be satisfied where we are. And Paul said, with whatever lot you're in, learn to be content therewith.
That's like unbridled.
Unbridled control. There's no control, no discipline.
Constantly never satisfied, always wanting more, more, more.
Isn't that undisciplined?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think we've probably all experienced that in mature times.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you know.
No. There's nothing common that's not of man. I mean, there's everything. Everybody has the same ites in the land, don't they? Mm-hmm. There are different degrees of strength in each person, but we all have different degrees of those ites in our land. And those seven that were mentioned in Deuteronomy 7:1, guess what? That's not the only ones there are. That's a symbol of seven of them, seven major ones. There's more. We're not worried about that.
More of the problem.
Huh? Yeah, they're just big ones that everyone sees, but there's all kinds of little tiny ones in there. It's just as bad. Okay, verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother. Okay? And what that says, go beyond or overreach and defraud or take advantage of his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have forewarned you and testified. So don't be overreaching places. Don't go where you shouldn't go to take advantage of somebody. Right? There's so many people, and the church world is probably worse than the world itself in taking advantage of people just because they're in a position of authority. How many preachers do you think take advantage of people every day?
Oh.
Every day.
It's sickening.
And it, like I say, it just ties a knot in my stomach when I hear them and see them doing things to take advantage of people for no reason, just because they can. They act like they're some kind of superior human being to everybody else. You know, that they should be treated much better than anybody else. Well, you know, it's funny because my book says that the pastors should be the greatest among you should be the servant.
Servant of all.
They don't understand that, but that's not my thing. I can't judge them in it, but I don't like it. I can see it's not the thing to be. I don't want to follow in their footsteps. How's that? Used to think Jimmy Swaggart was one of the greatest till he was exposed for what he was. And I got to grow up a little bit and see what was going on really. Then I got to see he was just a charlatan like the rest of them. Just a hustler. That's up to God to deal with, not me. Verse 7. Because God has not called us to uncleanness but into holiness. Now the words uncleanness and holiness are pretty similar words. He should say the uncleanness should be impurity. He's not called us to impurity, but to purity. That makes sense? That's what the Greek language says there. And he therefore that despises not man, but God, who is also given to us his Holy Spirit. Now the word despises, he that despises, literally, here's what it should say. He therefore that rejects this, rejects not man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Huh? Did I say that in yours? What translation is that?
That's
a very good translation, New King James, because a lot of times it's already in there the way it should actually say it. In Genesis 2:7, and I even have it marked here, New King James is the one that is the better translation on this verse. But in Genesis 2:7 is when God gave us his Spirit. See, everybody thinks you have to go to the altar and do some kind of voodoo, and then God will miraculously send some magical electric impulse into your body, and you're spiritually charged. But in Genesis 2:7, when Adam was formed from the dust of the earth and he breathed his breath into him, that was his spirit coming into man right there. So everybody received it in that instance, once for all. Okay? Not to worry about it. Okay, verse 9. But as touching, or literally as concerning, but as concerning brotherly love, you need not that I write to you. Paul's saying, I don't need to write you anything about love. And then he tells you why he don't need to write you anything about love. Because you yourselves are taught, literally the word says, divinely instructed. You are divinely instructed to love one another.
Okay?
Divinely instructed to love one another. Okay? You don't have a choice in it. I mean, that's the way God created you. If we were created from God, then the nature of us is God's nature, isn't it? And if He is love, what else can we do? See, but we're all believing in that false identity that the world has placed upon us, that the flesh has placed upon us, that the cherubim keep running around in our minds telling us who we are, how bad we are, and how many faults we have. Hell, I don't need nobody to tell me that. Yeah, I got my wife for that. I mean, there's all kinds of faults. We all have faults. That's not the point. King David was the most perfect example in the Bible about making faults, having faults. David created every kind of a fault possible in his life. He was a liar, a thief, an incestuous man, an adulterous man, a murderer. You know, keep on violating every law God had down. But God said, there's a man after my own heart. Because inside of him, whenever he found out he did something wrong, he said, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Right? Well, what happened to the church's story that you don't have the Holy Spirit until you get to the New Testament and say, I'm sorry? They might have missed something, mightn't they? We all have the Spirit of God in us, but we're all not aware of that Spirit. I was not aware of the Spirit of God in me 25, 30 years ago. I had no idea. But I'm aware now. And that's all that matters. It doesn't matter about then. And I was listening to something recently, and it made sense to me. It was about time. That everybody believes in yesterday and tomorrow. But the only thing there is now. Yeah. Yesterday and tomorrow are both illusions.
Yes.
Yeah. They are illusions. But I was there. No, you thought you was. Because you're now.
Even when you think about it now.
It's still an illusion.
Yeah, you're remembering that memory trace in your brain.
But it was an illusion then, so it's an illusion now.
Yeah, you're thinking about it now.
But the only thing there is now.
Yeah, that's all there is.
All there ever is. You're only guaranteed one thing, and that's right now.
Yes.
But I'm thinking of it in different levels, and I said, you know, boy, that's a really sound thought. Most people couldn't grasp it. They say, oh no, but I was there yesterday, I know. No, you weren't. You were now yesterday. Yeah. And you're now tomorrow. And you're now 1,000 years from now. You're still now. Somewhere else.
They're worrying about what if this. Now they've got themselves in such turmoil.
They can't enjoy now, can they?
Then they kill over.
Drop dead.
Yeah.
The greatest killer of mankind.
Are you happy now?
Can you hear me now?
That's my, whenever you said that, I've got this on my calendar for more reasons than one. Light at the end of the tunnel is not the illusion. The tunnel is.
Yep. There's no tunnel. You're not in any tunnel. You're living right now. But I thought that verse 9 was a powerful verse. Because I mean, he comes out and says, you're being divinely taught by God to love. I mean, there's no other need of a teaching, is there?
Well, who other would you want? Because He is love.
I understand that. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that right there, that's a powerful verse, and I've never heard anybody really dig into that, but I mean, there's probably a lot more you could say, but it's not necessary, I don't think, right now.
People may struggle with, you just don't like some people.
Yeah, but don't like them.
But you got to remember to love their spirit. Yeah.
It's not their flesh, but see, those people say, I don't like that person, but it's their flesh I don't like. But their spirit is the same spirit of me. They just don't know it yet.
That's really awesome thing that God is the one teaching us.
Sure.
And it goes up with deaf, dumb, mirror, deaf, dumb, lame, and blind. In the flesh can teach a deaf, dumb, lame, blind person anything.
No.
Nobody can. So.
I go right back when you said it kicked in me about what I wrote in the front of my Bible. No one can teach me who I am.
Yeah, no.
You may describe a part of me, but who I am is something I have to remember myself.
Yep.
That's that working out your own deliverance.
Yeah. God will show you with whatever it means. He can
show you. He use any dumbass he wants to, can he?
He'll get it back. That's that correction of the refiner's pot.
Yep. Verse 10. And indeed you do it to all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Now look, he said, okay, here I'm going to put it into modern words right now. And indeed you do it to all the brethren in your church, or in your denomination, which are in Macedonia, that's in your church or denomination, but we beseech you, or we encourage you, brethren, that you increase, and I'm trying to read my writing here. I wrote something very small. Got to find my writing, okay. We encourage you to excel, okay. We encourage you to excel.
Well, the Amplified says excel.
We encourage you to excel. The Greek says excel. So we encourage you that you excel. What? More.
More and more.
Yep.
In other words, come out of your box.
Okay. Yep. To excel more and more. Be who you be. Verse 11.
Color outside the lines.
Yep. Stretch her out. Go out there where you need to go. And he's saying, love everybody. When he's saying increase, that is, learn that you've got to love people outside of the people that all agree with you. That's not at all about that. It's about stretching out and loving them all. Who did God not love?
No.
Nobody. See, so we've got to learn. We've got things to work on. It's not about, taking trips and climbing rocks and mountains and going swimming and stuff the churches do to entertain people. It's about finding out who we are and what we lack so we can come up in it. If I understand what I'm lacking, that gives me something to work on. If you go to those instructors that teach you strength training and everything? Personal trainers. You go to a trainer and say, hey, my biceps are not very good. I need to work on it, or I need my abs worked on or something. He knows how to isolate that thing, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing when you go with God. When God shows you, here is your weakness, not in condemnation, but to teach you that there's something you need to work on. If he shows it to you, what should you do with it then?
Start working on it.
Not make excuses. Start working on it.
Say you had to do the whole thing
today.
Now.
No. But start working on it. Start now, and you can finish now. Right?
Yeah.
It's going to be now when you finish, but start now. Okay, verse 11. And that you study to be quiet. That's not what it says. What it should say is that you refrain, or you strive to refrain from meddlesome speech.
Gossip.
Yeah, quit gossiping, talking about everybody.
Mind your own business.
That's pretty good. More direct.
Blunt.
Yeah.
Lewis, I have your book.
You got her book? But anyway, strive to refrain from meddlesome speech and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. In Genesis 3:19, God said the curse was going to be on the flesh man to live by the sweat of his brow. Okay. He had to do things with his own hands, didn't he? Now, God was providing everything in the garden, but man wasn't satisfied with that. Man wanted to be God. They wanted to be in control. So God says, okay, now you take the reins. Now you're going to earn it by the sweat of your brow.
That man needed instructions now, took it on himself. Okay.
Yeah, he wouldn't listen.
You're going to have to be instructed.
He rejected God's advice, God's direction, didn't he? He rejected it. So, okay, now it's on you. Now you got to work it out. And through that one man who brought that upon us, through one man, Christ, all shall be made alive. So, in time, it'll all come, in due time. Verse 12, he said, you do it yourself. And the reason I want you to do it all, and this is what God's saying to us, the reason I want you to do it all is this right here in verse 12, that you cross out the word may there, if it's in your book. The word may is an added word. That you walk or live, what? Honestly or literally, decently, toward them that are without, and you have lack of nothing. He said, I want you to live decently and have lack of nothing if you do what I showed you to do.
Don't worry, be happy.
Does that sound like someone who has to earn it by the sweat of their brow? We can do it that way, or we can do it by earning it by the sweat of our brow. But there's nothing permanent in the earning it by the sweat of your brow. It's all temporal. Didn't Solomon say everything was vanity? It's all vanity, worthless and temporary, transitory. But he goes on and says in verse 13, I would not have you to be what? Or have a lack of information. Ignorance is nothing more than a lack of enough information to make the correct decisions. Okay? Concerning them which are what? Asleep. Dead. Not necessarily dead, but spiritually dead. Okay? That you sorrow not, or grieve not, even as others which possess no hope. See, if you have hope in God and you know the truth of reconciliation, you knew that God is going to reconcile all humanity back. If we lose a loved one, why should we put ourselves in such turmoil that we can't function in life? You see people like that, don't you? You see someone that loses a husband, a wife, a child, or something, and they go in such turmoil, they are totally useless for the rest of life. We see people that are 10, 15, 20 years deceased, and the people are still acting like it just happened today. They're wrapped up in it because, you know what? They have no hope. They were hoping in flesh, not in the spirit. If they knew this person, I just had a friend that had lost his wife. Just how long has it been since Jeff lost? 2 weeks? It's been that long? Okay. Anyway, he came and started talking to me, and I said, Jeff, I understand you lost somebody, but Jeff's not one that shows a lot of emotion. He's very quiet and shy in his demeanor, but he's not stupid by any stretch. A lot of people think he's stupid, but he's not. He just don't talk much. You know who it is, Jeff Swords.
Probably.
Yeah. I told him, I said, Jeff, look at it this way. And I showed him some scriptural things about, you know, that all go back to God. And he said, well, that's good. I said, yes, it is. It's very good. And he said, so don't worry and grieve yourself to destroy your life because your wife would not want you to lay down and die because she passed. He said, no, she told me just days before she passed. I said, you go on and live your life. You're still a young man. You're in your 50s. Just go on and live your life, you know. And I said, see there? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't wrap yourself up in this grief. Go on and live your life. Don't worry what anybody else says about what you're doing or they think you should be grieving and not going out and enjoying your life. It's none of their business. You live your life and go on. Just let it go. And don't worry about grieving. The people that have no hope in life are the ones that's going to grieve. That's what it says. See? I don't have to grieve if someone dies. I mean, they beat me. Daggone it. Sure, but don't collapse.
Yeah.
don't just cave in, you know.
It's always going to be things like, you know, the first birthday, you
know. Yeah. You can remember them, but not to destroy yourself in that process. I mean, I can think of a lot of people in my life that affected my life that have passed away, and I can remember them, but I don't remember them in sorrow now. I can remember clearly now. I can see better now after they pass a long time, that they had positive aspects that they gave me in life. And so I remember them in those positive aspects, and I don't worry about the other sides of it. I'm not worried about that. It's okay. I can see the good things that they brought to me. We're into 14, right?
Yes.
Because if we believe that Jesus died, and there's an if there, if we believe, not believe that there is a God or a man named Jesus, but if he did these things, if he died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or are dead, okay, or die, in or through Christ Jesus will God bring it with him. Now, if you see that word, which sleep, does your book say the same thing? Sleep? Does yours say it, Lisa?
No.
Verse 14? What's it say?
Oh, yeah, it does. I see it. I had to cross down.
Okay. Which sleep, right after that word sleep, there should be a comma, the way it's intended. I know the Greek Hebrew don't have punctuation, but the way we do it, it has to have, because there's a thought change there. He said, which even so them also which sleep, and then the next word is dia. It's not en, it's dia. Through Christ, through Jesus, will God bring with him. So he's saying, all the people that die physically, don't worry about them, because when Jesus comes back to God, he will bring how many with him? All. So he says, don't worry about it. He's trying to encourage you that this is what it is. Don't worry about that. God's got it under control. God never told us to control the world, did he? See? Live your life, do what's right, and let God do the thing about controlling the earth, because that's his business, not ours. It ain't the presidents, and it ain't all these other world leaders that think they're leaders. It's not up to them. It's up to God. Verse 15, because this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the appearing or the presence of the Lord shall not, what? Precede them which are asleep or deceased. So he's saying, we're not going to get ahead of the ones that's dead. In Christ all are one. God's no respecter of persons. He said, so we're not going to get ahead of somebody just because they went ahead and died ahead of us. Every man in his own order, correct? Doesn't book say this in Corinthians? God places you in the body where you want to be. What's it say? Where he chooses. See? It's not up to us. Relax. Live in the now. Verse 16, because the Lord himself shall descend from where?
Spirit.
The realm of the spirit, or the spirit realm, in a shout, okay? In the voice of the archangel. What is the archangel?
Christ.
Well, it's the first messenger, which is Christ. Okay, arc means first, first angel, the first messenger, archangelos. And in the voice of the archangel and in the trump of God. What's the trump of God?
Word.
The word of God. And the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. But it is the word there. I mean, that's the word.
Trumpet
has to do with the word spoken out.
Right.
Yeah. So those are the things that bring it about. When all these things happen, but where are they going to happen? It's got to be internal. They happen in you. When you begin to hear that voice, that trumpet speaking to you. And the dead in Christ, who's the dead in Christ? We are. and he's going to resurrect. He's going to do the resurrecting. It's not about going to church and slobbering and snotting on a board at the front of an altar or something. That's more idolatry. The only altar I have is before my God. Sure it does. You did it. You earned it. You went up there and cried and slobbered all over the board. Yeah, that's a... Verse 17, it goes on to say, then, which is connecting to that other verse, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And the word literally caught up doesn't say caught up. It usually says, literally says, eagerly claimed. And thee which are, and we which are alive and remain shall be eagerly caught up together with them. With them who? The ones which are asleep in verse 15, okay? And in 16, he's talking about the dead in Christ. He said, we'll be caught up with them into the clouds. And what is the clouds? The overcomers, right? In Hebrews 12:1, huh? Mm-hmm. We'll be caught up with the overcoming witness, the big cloud of witnesses, to meet or to have a friendly encounter, it says in the Greek, with the Lord in the air. And it says in the lower air, not way up by the Milky Way somewhere, like everybody thinks. So shall we ever be together with the Lord. Now, he's saying in the lower air. Look here. Where do we live? In the lower air on the earth. Huh? It's what we breathe. So he's not telling you you're going to fly away. What's he trying to tell you? Right where you walk and talk today is where you're going to meet with God.
Now.
Right now, right where you live, right where you walk and talk. This is where you're going to meet God in your life. And verse 18 goes on and says this, therefore, comfort one another in these spiritual words, is what it should say. In these spiritual words, tell them the truth. It's not about all this gushy, mushy love that people want to talk about, because there's correction and discipline in love. Why do you discipline your children?
Because of love.
You love them and you don't want them hurt. You don't want them to go the wrong paths. Is that right? Everybody has the same idea with that. But yet, when it comes to the spiritual side of it, everybody, oh, you can't talk about that. That's too harsh. You know what? Jesus was about as blunt as he can get.
You and my brother, he's the one that taught me how to be that way.
That's exactly right. See? Follow his nature and his character. He told the religious folk several times, you're serpents, you're snakes, you're liars, you're thieves, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, you're hypocrites. He told them right to their face. He wasn't judging them. He was revealing something to them that they had blinded themselves to.
Hopefully they walked away and said, wow, maybe I am that way. I didn't know that.
I bet most of them didn't, but some of them might have. You never know.
Might have one or two that walked away and said, hey.
Sure.
I didn't know about that.
That's exactly right. And see, that's why we should learn to accept and love, like it says in Proverbs, rebuke and correction. Because when someone says something to you, like even like they said, oh, you're awful blunt, well, you need to look at it to see if there's any credibility to that accusation, right? I did that once here. Remember I let people bring accusations against me, and I had two big pages on both sides of the big legal pads of accusations people had complaints about me. And I sat right down here and read them off. I didn't put anybody's name to them. They knew who made the accusations. And I read them off to them, and I said, look here, this one is a personal preference, and this one is, and this one is, and this one is. Now, this one might have some credibility, and I went right through them. I said, you know, you can make all the accusations you want. I will hear what you have to say. If it's a personal preference that you want me to part my hair, which one of them you want me to part that side, that's personal preference, and I won't even acknowledge that.
Then you better turn off the fan.
Yeah. Because it's going to mess that one's just going to be wavering. But if there's any credibility, I have to look at it. If I'm a man of God, I have to look at that, don't I? And see if there's anything in there for me.
We are men of God.
Well, sure, but I'm saying I have to make that assessment to see if there's anything to it. I have to openly look at it with an open mind. Was there any credibility in that accusation? And really, as an accusation, there's not much credibility with any of them, because it's an accusation, not an observance.